Hi, and welcome to the Indie Music Podcast, the podcast for independent musicians and other music professionals. We're your hosts, myself, Matt Denton, also known as Mojo, of Ragged Birds Music. I'm a recording artist and mix engineer. And Douglas Reynolds of Resonance Studio, a mastering and recording engineer. So I didn't go with bourbon. I went with a gin and tonic because, I don't know, I'm thirsty.
Well, it's earlier there.
It is. Well, you know, it's always 5 o'clock somewhere, right?
Yeah.
No, I just got off work and it's like, you know, it's been one of those weeks. Once, year, it's been a year.
So do you have like an hour commute?
You know, it depends. Tonight, the traffic was kind of bad. Sometimes I fly home. Last week was really easy. This week was a little trickier. It's hard to predict, but it can be up to an hour most nights. And I'm driving. I'm the one driving the van in traffic, so.
Oh, are you?
It can be a little stressful.
I thought you shared that. It was like a carpool.
Well, thing. We do share it, but on my leg, I drive my leg. So then somebody else picks it up after that. So it is shared. But in terms of me driving every day, I still drive every day.
Now, are these all colleagues or friends? Or?
Surprisingly, one of the people is in my department, so she is a colleague. And another is somebody that I know from a previous commute bus situation. So I've known a couple of these people a long time. And we get along okay. Some of the people are weird, but, you know, it's... You know, it's kind of the luck of the draw. They're pleasant enough. Will you say that?
Yeah.
How are you, man? How goes it?
It goes well. I don't have like anything really new to bring.
Yeah, you do. You've been all like all over your patch bay and patching things with multicolored cables and.
I know it's
doing cool stuff.
I mean, it looks really cool. That's about where it ends.
It looks cool, but it only kind of works. I get it.
Yeah. It's like very photogenic.
It is. It's, you know what? I have, as somebody who has been an IT professional for a very long time, I really respect and appreciate a really nice cable run. It's such a geeky, nerdy thing to do and say, but man, a nice cable run with the cables all like lined up and wrapped properly and routed properly. That's just a sign of professionalism right there.
Yeah. You know, this all started about like, I don't know, maybe 4 weeks ago. And I was just had like this mess of wires. And, you know, my desk doesn't back up to a wall. It's open into the middle of a room. And so when you walk in and look at that, it's like if someone, you know, if I had an artist in here, this would look horrible. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I want the studio to be more professional. So,
well, you could do a drape or a Chinese screen or something.
But yeah, and then I took a picture of that and I posted that out on Twitter and stuff, and I was like, you know, I gotta fix this. And so it's been my project, and yeah, I got like a tensioner bar for the, and I got wire looms, and I bought like 100 Velcro wraps, and I've got a bunch of zip ties.
I prefer the looms to the bars.
Yeah.
And I prefer the Velcro to the zip ties. Zip ties, you inevitably have to like go,
I got 100 of them.
Cut it off. Yeah, no, I know. Velcro's more.
Yeah. And the Velcro, know. I'm using both. I'm only using the zip ties on the lacing bar. And,
oh, okay.
And I just, it's solely, you know, well, its purpose is to keep it look good.
Right.
But it also is tension relief. And the wires coming in from outside the rack, and that's what its main purpose is.
You know, tension relief is overlooked in cabling.
Yeah.
Actually, speaking of that, tension relief is overlooked in our business. That was going to be our topic tonight.
Yeah.
Was kind of like self-care and avoiding burnout.
Yeah.
And tension relief kind of fits right in there, doesn't it? Yeah. So it's been on my mind because I don't want to go into it, but it's been like a really stressful month
in
my world.
Well,
it's
supposed to be good to share. How do you, you know, how are you dealing with stress and managing?
Well, that's it. I mean, this has come up as topic suggestions and topics for, the DIY music chat more than once, just kind of like, how do you deal with anxiety? How do you deal with, you know, the feelings of burnout? And how do you deal with kind of that feelings of overwhelm? And what do you do for self-care? Because as you said the other day, you can't pour from an empty cup. You have to take care of yourself.
Yeah.
And I think that's a great sentiment. You know, you have, you know, it's like the busy mom, you know, who takes care of everybody and everything, but doesn't take care of herself. I mean, we're all kind of the busy mom sometimes, right? You know, we have clients, or we have creative endeavors, and we have jobs, and we have families, and we have all these things, and we keep ramping up the productivity and trying to squeeze more out of less and fit things into the slots of the time that we have and be more efficient. And, you know, sometimes we forget to slot in that kind of downtime of, you know, I need to recharge my batteries. I need to chill. I need to meditate. I need to drink some water. Get up and walk around the room.
I have meditated for at least 15 minutes a day, every day since the beginning of the year.
Well, that's great.
And initially it was like really, well, it's always kind of hard, but I kind of like guided meditations.
Well, I was going to ask you, do you use an app? Like I have Insight Timer on my phone, but I don't use it as often as I should. So do you use something like that?
I don't. I do yoga also.
Right.
And meditation is always part of the very last thing in a yoga workout.
Oh,
so
okay.
I do like Shavasana, which is that, you know, the deep relaxation right after you get done working your butt off.
I've done that, and it puts me to sleep.
Yeah. Don't do it too long. Yeah, but that's why they suggest that you sit up while meditating.
Oh, that makes sense.
But so I do that after every yoga practice, because I've also done yoga every day, and I haven't missed a day. My goal is to not miss a day.
So that's a new thing this year, right?
It is, yeah.
Okay. And it seems to be working out?
It does. It's been really, really good. I do two things every day, and one of them is I walk after my meals.
Nice.
And the other is the yoga and meditation every day.
The walking after the meals thing, see, that's something that my grandparents used to do and my family used to do when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And I just thought that was a, I don't know, funny thing, but I think that used to be kind of a tradition, and it actually is very helpful for health and digestion to kind
of like it's
get out and
metabolism.
Walk after dinner. Yeah.
You know, a long time ago, I don't mean to get into this, but there was this book that I read a long time ago, and it was the Hilton Head Metabolism Nutrition Plan.
Okay.
And I've been into like nutrition and stuff like that for a long time. But anyway, so this was pretty interesting though. And that was the first time I was introduced into 20 minutes after every meal, you're going for a walk.
Okay.
And I had a lot of success just by adding that one thing into my lifestyle.
That's interesting.
So I've done that for a long time.
I mean, if nothing else, you get exercise, but the 20 minutes part is interesting.
Yeah, there's just that bit of a wait to allow to settle down after eating, you know, to allow the digestion stuff to settle into your stomach. But
well, I have something on that if you...
I would like to know what.
Oh, well, so I've always heard the rule of thumb, you know, that your stomach takes 20 minutes to know that it's full is what, you know, I always heard from like my mom and stuff, and that I have parroted as a parent, like when, you know, somebody's asking for seconds or immediately going back for more food, and you're like, you know, your stomach doesn't know that you're full yet. Well, there's research now, and I find this fascinating, that your stomach doesn't really tell you when you're full. And that's why it takes time, because there's this thing called the vagal nerve that's in your intestine. And it isn't until the food passes through your stomach into your intestine and hits the vagal nerve that the vagal nerve goes, oh, okay, you can stop now. But it takes 20 minutes. So when you're just like scarfing food and you know, you're doing it for the flavor or because you think that's how much you're supposed to eat, it does take a certain amount of time before your body goes, hey, wait, oh, hey, that's plenty.
Yeah.
Be done now. So that's kind of an interesting time frame, of 20 minutes.
But that's helped me with stress. And then if I kind of go back to the meditation thing, you don't have to meditate for, you know, 15, 20, 30 minutes or whatever. So if you're finding that you're in the middle of your workday and you've got a bunch of people on your nerves or whatever yes. the situation is and things like that.
That I happens mean, you, to you? What?
Yeah. You can, you know, you can take a minute, you know,
yes.
and just pull yourself out of the situation for a minute, focus on your breathing, you know?
Yeah.
And,
that's why I like this app, Insight Timer. You can literally go into this app and say, okay, I want a meditation that's 5 minutes or less, or a 3 minute yeah. or 1 minute. And you can listen to this and just close your eyes and listen to something for 1 minute, and it will calm you down and it will ease your anxiety. And I know meditation is a little bit fatty now, like it was in the 70s, but there's something to it that's more than just, you know, it's not about like the hippy dippy, you know, cosmic consciousness, all that. So some of it, what it is just like training your mind to be still and to know how to focus and to let the excess fall away so that you can just be centered and be present in the moment. And that really helps your anxiety. It helps your mood. It helps your body calm down and eases inflammation, because inflammation is part of that fight or flight response. I mean, there's so much to it that's beyond what kind of the mythology around it and kind of the, you know, the reputation that it has for being, you know, new agey, spacey, you know, only hippies do it kind of a thing. There's a lot more to it than that.
Yeah. Hey, have you ever heard of Kenny Werner?
No.
I'm going to actually pull it up here because I want to make sure I give the correct information. Although there's a book of his that I've read, and it's called Effortless Mastery.
Okay.
Liberating the Master Musician Within.
Oh, right? That sounds very interesting. Let's put and that it's in the show notes. Book.
And on the with relation to meditation, he has three guided meditations in here that are designed around, some of it's about performance anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
And but it's not just that, but it's how to relax and how to practice relaxing and kind of out of body type of mentality.
Mm-hmm.
When you're practicing or when you're playing or you know, even when you're not holding your instrument. And so I've been doing these guided meditations for a year or two now. I don't do them every day anymore, but you know, like on Sundays or some, you know, whatever, I do a longer meditation on Sundays. And so I usually will do his, and there's three different ones, you know, so it's a little bit of variety, but.
So they're in a book? How do you do a guide if it's in a book?
Oh, he's got an accompanying set of audio files that you can download off the website.
I really enjoy guided meditation because it takes a certain amount of discipline that you have to kind of ramp up to do like self-guided meditation, I want to say. There's some breathing exercises so when I go to the gym every morning, and so I really enjoy the after the gym, kind of the reward and thing that I look forward to most is the sauna. So I sit in the sauna and I just like, you know, do some breathing exercises and just kind of like center myself and think about, okay, what's my intention for the morning when I go back to my desk? What are the things I need to focus on today? And that's kind of a meditation, but I do some kind of like focus centered things to kind of bring myself back to myself. And I don't know if that makes any sense, but that's part of what meditation is. It's helping to train your mind to be not, you know, mind like water, not mind like hummingbird. You know, the monkey mind, you want that to go away. You want to be able to focus it where you want it to focus and not have it flit around like a butterfly all the time.
Yeah. But the thing is it's also a matter of accepting that you can float around like a butterfly.
Right.
You know, that's
part of the cool thing. You acknowledge that. You say, okay, I hear that my mind is going here. I'm going to acknowledge that, and I'm going to bring it back to the center. And that's part of the meditation. And that's part of training yourself to have your mind, to learn how to recognize that your mind is distracted and then bring it back to where you want to focus it.
Yeah.
And that's such a really important tool. I mean, that's so fundamental.
The training I've been doing on it has been focused on breath, because your breath during the process is the one thing that's always present that you can actually focus on. And it's the Ujjayi breath that you have in the back of your throat,
mm-hmm.
Which is kind of I haven't ever run across that in anything else I've ever done other than yoga. I was in martial arts type of things as well, but none of the breathing like this is... have I come across as far as breathing techniques that they have, like in yoga. So that I think is kind of, as far as I know, kind of unique to practicing yoga. And that's in practicing meditation. That's every time you sit down and meditate, you are, you know, you are practicing to do it.
Right.
I don't know when you ever are not practicing something. And if you relate that to playing, you know, I think you're always practicing even when you're performing.
Oh, I think that's true too. But as somebody who's a singer and has practiced, you know, breathing techniques and other things related to singing, I mean, that can be part of it too.
Yeah. But back to Kenny Werner, he's considered to be a world-class jazz pianist. I can't remember. I think he's played with like a bunch of like large jazz orchestras, and yeah, I'd have to look up his discography, but it's like really huge. I mean, dating back all the way to like as a band leader to like 1976 or 77 or something like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to today.
Oh, wow.
So Kenny Werner, Effortless Mastery is definitely a book I would recommend.
I will look that up and we will put that in our show notes. So beyond meditation, we're talking about self-care. We're talking about anxiety. We're talking about avoiding burnout. Some of the things that other people, because I put that out there in the DIY music chat, just like, hey, how do you deal with anxiety and burnout, and what do you do for self-care? And a lot of people are like, I go for a walk. And you mentioned a walk, specifically walking in nature, like walking with trees, walking in places where you hear nature sounds, you hear birds, you hear the rustling of the leaves. I don't know if that's white noise or pink noise. That's a little bit engineering geeky, but I think the ocean is white noise. Is that correct? I don't know. Yeah,
you know, I'm really drawn to like wind through the treetops. When I lived out on the West Coast for a long time, I'd go camping in the mountains a lot.
Yep.
And that, you know, when you're finally resting at night and, or, you know, in the morning or whatever, whenever you're hanging out or around the fire or whatever. But that's like the one thing that is, it's like waves rolling in. You can hear it coming in from trees, you know, a half a mile away.
I think wind in the trees and the ocean noise, I think those are similar sounds and they have a similar peaceful calming effect.
Yeah. And I'm drawn to both those. So the mountains and the ocean, those are two places that I really like to be.
Beyond that, I mean, get back to basics. Okay, so we're talking about creatives. We're talking about maybe engineers, you know, you're sitting at a desk. Take breaks. Get out of your chair. Walk around. I don't want to call anybody out or say this, but, you know, there's a tendency for people who sit in chairs all day to kind of put on a little weight, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I find as a person who does sit at a desk all day, not necessarily doing engineering things, but that's just my day job. I find that I tend to snack more. I eat more at a desk. And if I'm walking around, I'm not that hungry. I don't know if that's an anxiety thing. Because, you know, we eat for different reasons. Sometimes that's like, we have a culture in my office of kind of like eating lunch at your desk and kind of working through lunch. That's just kind of like the unspoken culture. I don't like that, but it's kind of what happens.
I actually stopped doing it. It's not healthy for you.
It's not healthy, but then what happens is you kind of start to associate sitting at front of a computer with eating.
Yeah.
And I think it becomes an unconscious thing like, okay, I will eat now because I am here. And I find that when you walk away, then you're not actually hungry. It was something else altogether.
Yeah. If you drink a big glass of water when you're feeling that way, oftentimes you're actually thirsty.
Right. Yes.
Your body registers that as being hunger.
Thirst is hunger. Yeah. Because it's like a desire to put something in your face.
Yeah.
And really what it's wanting is water. And you interpret that as food. And of course, you know, salty snacks, you're going to stuff your face with some cashews or whatever.
Yeah. You know what I found is that I'm not really good at having like a bottle of water and then just sipping on it.
I'm not either.
And I will fail at drinking the amount of water that I want to drink, you know, that I think I should drink during the day. But if I just go, I keep a glass out on the counter now.
Uh-huh.
And I just go fill that glass up and I slam the whole thing. And
I do that first thing in the morning. I think that's like one of the things that's like, if you do nothing else, when you first wake up, drink a glass of water. It helps your digestion. It helps rehydrate you from the night.
Yeah.
You've got to hydrate
your brain, you know, and
yes, your brain runs on water.
Yep.
Drinking water is to your brain what changing your oil is to your car.
But yeah, so it's easy to go slam eight glasses of water a day. it's hard for me to drink three bottles of sipping it, carrying around a bottle with me all day.
I see people carrying bottles of water, and I'm like, it just, I hate to say this, but water to me, it's just boring. I mean, I kind of have to force myself to drink it.
That's why slamming tea all day. Glasses. I have coffee early in the morning, and then I have tea in the afternoon, you know?
And I drink coffee in the morning, and then I drink tea, kind of green tea, like all day long. But I don't know that. This is something that I've asked people, and I don't know if this is true or not. I don't know if the tea is hydrating or if it's a diuretic. I don't know. Or maybe it's both. I don't know. But that's most of my water intake during the day is tea and coffee, and that's probably not great.
Yeah.
Or if I take a walk and have a beer down on Haight Street, that's a different kind of liquid intake. But at least I'm getting out and getting exercise. So there's a trade-off there. I count that.
You know, I've got, you know, not everybody has this, but, you know, I've got an Apple Watch.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure there's other tools that you could use.
I got a Fitbit.
But it reminds me to get up and walk every hour.
Yeah, I have, I've taken 11,734 steps today.
Yeah, right on. Yeah, I'm counting my steps. And, you know, I try to, I walk 5K after lunch every day, and plus other walking. So I'm always at over 10,000 steps.
It's not a contest, Doug. Come on.
But that's a, you know, I would walk further if I had time, but that's the amount of time I have during lunch, you know, so, but get that done. But yeah, so it's easy, you know, I get the reminder I need to get up because I will forget. And I sit there at the desk and kind of, you know, very sedentary and, you know,
it's easy to fall into that kind of like sit down. And then the other thing is we don't take eye breaks often enough. We're staring at the screen that's like 2 feet away for hours and hours and hours. And really, like every hour you need to get up, take an eye break, take an ear break, get off your butt, let your blood circulate, stretch your muscles.
And that's really important too. So
it's really important.
The ear break. I mean, definitely the eye breaks. And that's what I said before we got together here. I was like, I got to go grab some aspirin or something. And it's actually from eye strain.
Yeah, I get that.
You know, I wear glasses, and I can tell when my glasses, when I've been wearing them too long, I have astigmatism. And so I can feel the muscle in my eyes contracting and relaxing. It's like really weird. And that gives me a headache.
Yeah, I have glasses. I don't wear glasses as often as I need to. I have like for close reading, because by the end of the day, after staring at a screen all day, reading all day, I really do kind of like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Everything's blurry a little bit. I need to put my glasses on.
For hearing, I have my studio calibrated at 85 decibels. That's the level that I listen at.
Is that loud? That sounds loud.
It's not loud. That's not loud. Probably as loud as you and I talking right now. Oh. Maybe a little bit louder.
Oh, okay.
And that would be peak volume.
Okay. Yeah, this is about the level that I mix at, and then I turn it up, and then I turn it down. But
yeah, at that volume level, on an eight-hour day, You want to give your ears a break every couple hours.
Oh, yeah.
That level, 85 decibels, is an industry standard for recording studios, for audio engineering, for an eight-hour day of exposure.
Okay, so, that makes sense.
Yeah, so it's also a standard broadcasting level, and
except for commercials. Commercials are like 105 dB.
I remember that back in the 70s. You know,
I don't want your couch. Shut up.
Interesting. I don't know her name. There was a senator, in California, and she was having a dinner party. And the commercials kept coming on and interrupting her dinner party. And so next day, she was pissed off and went and made legislation, which ended up being the Colm Act that was created out of California.
Was it Nancy Pelosi? Because that sounds like a Nancy Pelosi thing to do. I like her. I'm just saying.
I really don't remember her, the senator's name. It was a woman. And she got that passed. And ever since then, and that was in the early 90s, I think, 92, 93.
Yeah, I kind of remember that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like.
And from that point on, the broadcasting companies have to have normalized standards for, you know, that commercials aren't going to be any louder than the average dialogue.
I'm happy about that.
Yeah. And they use like a LKFS. It's similar to
LUFS.
LUFS, except it's measured on a sampling of typical dialogue and not the entire average over the whole thing.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. But yeah, but anyway, so if you stretch your ears out, that's going to cause headaches. That's going to cause muscle tension in the back of your neck and, you know, just like, you know, your eyes do.
I didn't even think about that, the whole muscle tension thing. Well, that's why, okay, so we're talking about some really basic stuff. I mean, to just take care of yourself. I mean, you have to, as you say, you can't pour from an empty cup. So you have to take care of yourself. I mean, that's why you're supposed to put your mask on first in the airplane when the pressure drops, and then put it on your kid. Because you gotta take care of yourself. You gotta take care of number one. So exercise.
How does it feel when you're doing everything for everybody else all the time?
You feel, and you've done nothing you're stretched, for yourself. You're like, what is it? Butter over too much bread? You're just stretched real thin.
Yeah.
At the very least, stand up, take breaks, take eye breaks, take ear breaks, walk around. This is an audio engineer thing, yes, but you know, for creatives, make sure that you're drinking water, make sure that you're getting proper nutrition. Make sure that you're exercising regularly. These things are just basic life things, but they help your mood. They help your anxiety. They help you just be a general healthy person in the world. And it helps you recharge your batteries to just be better to yourself.
Yeah.
That's the big lesson here, I think. And
it's also, you know, with dealing with other people and having something to give is the old analogy of being in flight when the oxygen drops down.
Right, right, right.
In order to have something to give away, you have to have something
right
to give away.
And that goes for, I think that goes for creativity too. I mean, if we're like go, 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 then there's no input. You can't output without the input. So you have to take breaks. You have to recognize that there are seasons to creativity. You have to give yourself a break and say, okay, I can't just output all the time. I have to stop. Go do something else completely. Take a walk, do some fun things with other people that have nothing to do with what I'm trying to output. Suddenly, you know, I mean, this is why we get our best ideas in the shower, in the bathroom, when we're washing the dishes, doing like some mindless kind of Zen task, which also, by the way, great times to listen to podcasts. But
yeah,
these are the times that the ideas come to us. And why? Because we're not actively seeking them, because we're not actively trying to output. Our unconscious mind is working on stuff all the time. This is why you want to give yourself an intention before you go to bed. You know what? Here's a problem to solve. Good night. And then when you wake up in the morning, more often than not, you kind of have some solutions or some thoughts about that.
Yeah. And it doesn't even necessarily take sleeping on it. So it is uncanny how well removing yourself from a problem is towards being able to solve that problem.
So often.
It's incredible. So true. And it's something that I hear over and over and over from people of all different types of things, you know, that they're doing in different problems of different professions and different types of, you know, whether it be creative or programmatic or logic type of things. It over and over again, removing yourself from the
problem,
saturated focus on a problem allows your mind to free up from that tunnel vision.
Yeah. Yeah, this happens to me all the time.
It's just like things come. It's not even like you're trying. You had to calculate the solution. It's just like the ideas come. And I've had that. And you know, I've actually rushed back to my desk because I knew this is going to work. You know,
right? This happens to me all the time. I'll be working on something and really focus. I can't get it. I'm like, forget it. I'm going to take a break. I'm going to walk outside, get some vitamin D, and I'm walking down the hall. And I go outside and like just pause, and then, you know, thinking about something else altogether, and then the solutions start coming. It's almost like your brain is like a guy at a desk in a front room, and behind them is a door, and behind that door is a whole fleet of people at desk, like typing away and working on stuff. And you just want to like open the door, throw your problem in, close the door, and like do something else. And then somebody's going to rush up to you with the solution, going, boss, I have the answer. You're like, oh, great. That's kind of like what your subconscious is. That's what it feels like sometimes. I like get up and walk down the hall and like, oh, there's a solution to the problem. I wasn't even thinking about it at all. I feel like that happens a lot.
Yeah. Or other times it's like this like really good intended gnome kind of guy. And he really wants to help bad, but he's kind of drunk. You know?
Yes, you my know? Gnome would be a drunk gnome. There's no doubt. Yeah, I got a drunk. my fleet of helpers in the back office has been replaced by a drunk gnome. There are days like that. He sent everybody home. Oh, so what are our takeaways here? So you want to avoid burnout. You want to ease your anxiety. You want to do some self-care. Do the basic stuff. Exercise.
Do stuff for yourself that you
enjoy
doing.
Don't be the busy mom who takes care of everybody but yourself. Yeah. Take some time. Do something nice for yourself.
Adding yourself into the list of priorities, you know?
Yes, put yourself on your own to-do list. It's like, okay, I got to take some time for myself. And one of the things, and I don't know if we touched on this before, but I know I've touched on it online, is it's so valuable. We forget to celebrate the small wins. You know, we have our to-do lists, and we have our projects, and we have our project lists, and we, you know, if we don't get the golden ring, you know, we don't solve the problem and complete the project, but we hit the milestones or we got a little bit on the way. I mean, there are days when, you know, a win can be, you know, I landed a client or I wrote a song or I, you know, published an album. And there are some days when your win is they had donuts in the break room and I didn't eat one. I mean, but those are still wins, and you got to every day. There was a practice I was doing, and it really made me feel better. Like sitting down at the end of the day with a little tiny notebook, and just like writing down 3 or 5 wins for the day. And you just kind of forget if you don't do that. You're like, oh yeah, I made this call and I made this contact and I finished this thing and I did this, and just like some little wins. And then you realize, okay, otherwise all you remember are the negative things. You know, if you don't celebrate the small wins, those go a long way towards gratitude and towards feeling better about yourself and your progress. And I just think that goes a long way towards not only easing anxiety, but just kind of like feeling better in general about your progress along your path.
Yeah. I guarantee if you focus on gratitude, you won't feel anxiety.
And it's a habit, because I think we've trained ourselves to focus on negative things and trained to focus on what we're doing wrong instead of what we did right. And yeah, being grateful, because, you know, ultimately happiness is being grateful for what you have, not achieving something that you didn't have, right?
Yeah.
Otherwise, it'll never be enough.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different ways to be grateful. It could be things that you don't have, you know?
Like, oh, I don't have a horrible disfiguring disease.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, so it's, there's all kinds of different angles. So just depending on, you know, what that means for the individual and
right.
their particular situation.
Yeah. I mean, I think being grateful for friends and family and, you know, community and small wins, like not eating a donut. I mean, nature,
you know, or eating the donut, you know,
or you know what? Sometimes, hey, damn it. Eat the donut. Life is short. You're going to be sorry in 15 minutes, but you know, it tasted really good though.
Yeah.
Some donuts are worth it.
Yeah. Bavarian cream and stuff, you know, I mean,
do me a favor though. If you're going to eat a donut, just make sure it's a good donut.
Yeah. I definitely agree with that. If you're going to do it right.
So. Yeah. If you're going to do it right. Make sure it's worth the calories.
Yeah.
I think that's a good place to end.
If you're going to do it right.
If you're going to do it right, take care of yourself. Be a busy mom, but put yourself on your own to-do list in terms of priorities. All this has been a fun one. For, you know, considering we came up with the topic today.
Yeah.
And it's an important topic, though.
To the listener, if you've made it this far, then...
thank you listener, yeah. For sticking with us. Thanks for listening. We totally appreciate it. Appreciate everybody who's listening out there, all your comments, and if you're on iTunes, leave us a review. That helps us a lot.
Yeah, that would be helpful.
And if you're inclined and you're on Twitter, Fridays join the DIY music chat, Sundays join the audio mix chat. Chat with a great community of like-minded, independent musicians and creatives, and make some new friends.
Thanks so much for listening. Talk to you. Have a great week.
Have a great week.
Bye. All right. Bye-bye.
Well, that's it for another episode of the Indie Music Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. If you did, leave us a comment or a review and share with your friends. Hit us up on our website at indiemusiccast.com. Find myself on Twitter at Mojo's Army. Find Douglas on Twitter at Rezo Studio. Thanks. Until next time, keep creating.